Whether to buy a house or go to college are major financial decisions, but so is deciding when to take Social Security. Hi, I'm Rob West. It's true, tens of thousands of dollars, if not more, are on the line when deciding when to start taking Social Security benefits. Eddie Holland joins us today to help you make that decision. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, we're excited to have Eddie Holland with us today. Eddie's a senior private wealth advisor and partner of Blue Trust in Greenville, South Carolina. He's also a CPA, a certified financial planner, and a certified kingdom advisor. So a triple threat, so to speak. Eddie, great to have you on the program.
Rob, thank you so much. I'm honored to be your guest.
Eddie, this is a topic we get so often related to when to take Social Security benefits. Now, we usually advise folks to put off taking Social Security benefits at least until full retirement age, which is now 66 or 67. But we realize that isn't always the best for everyone. So I'd love for you to weigh in on what folks should consider when making this decision.
Sure. And I'll start out by prefacing that this is not an exhaustive list, just some things to consider. I think the first thing people need to consider, Rob, is understanding that if they take Social Security before full retirement age, they will be subject to a reduction. Yeah. However, delaying past their full retirement age, they will receive an annual increase that equals 8%. Mm. It's what Social Security calls a delayed retirement credit. So those are very important things to consider. Another consideration is cash flow needs. If someone retires, then there's obviously going to be potentially cash needs that arise. So they may start taking Social Security earlier than full retirement age because there's cash needs, income needs that they need to replace. We have some clients that we've advised that needed to pay down debt. And so if you have debt payment that you need to consider, that's another factor. We've had clients that have said, I just want to increase my charitable giving. And so I want to draw Social Security, start giving more even in retirement or potentially as a legacy gift. So that's another consideration. One other factor to consider, and I don't mean to be morbid, but health is obviously a consideration. People that don't have longevity in their family line, they may start taking Social Security benefits a little earlier. Others that plan to live a long time or feel like they're very healthy, generally speaking, the longer you live, the more you benefit by delaying Social Security at least until full retirement age, and possibly even later until age 70. Another factor, Rob, that I'll mention a couple more, and then one that maybe is a little more nuanced. Legacy goals and inheritance, most of the time you can't pass Social Security benefits on to kids or charity, but you can your portfolio. So some clients have said, I want to earmark my portfolio for giving or for inheritance reasons, and I want to start drawing Social Security now. Everybody loves to talk about taxes, but income tax is a component to consider. Federal income tax guidelines state that Social Security could be subject to tax. So we've had some clients delay Social Security until a year where they're going to be in a lower tax bracket. And then one of the more nuanced strategies that really came up a couple of years ago, Rob, was when the market was down significantly, we had clients that had retired prior to full retirement age. They were starting to draw from their portfolio. They wanted to delay Social Security. Well, the market did not cooperate, had significant market drop. What the client then at that point decided was, can I stop or pause my Social Security benefit? If you are younger than full retirement age and you have started drawing Social Security within the first 12 months, you can do what Social Security calls a withdrawal. So you can withdraw your application, but a withdrawal application simply means I had a 12-month free look period. I don't want to draw it. I want to have what in golfing terms is a mulligan.
Yeah.
I don't want to start drawing it. I want to pay it back. And it's as if you never drew it. The benefit of that is that you can turn it back on at a later point and you're able to potentially act as if you never drew it. Now, that's a very nuanced strategy, something to consider before actually making that decision.
That was so helpful. Well, we're obviously going to have you back, but you gave us some really important things to think about as you consider the right age to start taking Social Security benefits. Eddie, we appreciate you stopping by today, my friend.
Rob, thanks for having me.
That was Eddie Holland of Blue Trust in Greenville, South Carolina, back with your calls and questions on the other side of this break. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Call right now, 800-525-7000. By the way, you don't have to call, just send an email, askrob@faith.com. We'll be back after this.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
The gospel doesn't just improve people, it transforms them. In Jesus, sinners become saints. Haters become heralds of his grace. One of the clearest examples is Saul of Tarsus. He once persecuted the church, but after encountering Jesus, everything changed. Acts 9:21 says, "All those who heard Saul were astonished and asked, 'Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name?'" Saul was the persecutor of Christians, but now was the proclaimer and preacher. That is the power of the gospel. No one is too far gone. And if God can transform Saul, he can transform anyone. And you'll see Jesus more clearly through time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the Giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are Giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Looking forward to taking your calls and questions today, helping you see God as your ultimate treasure and money a tool. Keep in mind, money is a good gift from God to enjoy. Yeah, I think God smiles when we use money to have a joyful celebration. It's a tool to give, to love our neighbor and solve problems and give to those in need. It's a tool to invest, not only to take a portion of what God has entrusted to us and put it to work so that it grows, but also to invest, I think, in ways that promote human flourishing and allow us to love our neighbors by providing capital to businesses, providing goods that are good and services that are serving people. And when we do that, I think we reflect the heart of God and we use this good gift in a way that drives flourishing. It drives our financial purpose, if you will. But we have to be on our guard because what we also see in scripture is that money is dangerous. It can compete with our hearts for first position. When it becomes a means, when it becomes an end and not a means to an end, well, that's when it becomes a problem. It can rival our hearts for our devotion to God if we're not careful. We see that all throughout scripture. Remember, it says you have to choose between mammon or God. We see in the parable of the sower that the deceitfulness of riches can choke out the word from bearing a 30, 60, 100-fold return. We see all throughout Scripture where money can become an idol, this good creation can be worshipped. That's when it's a problem. But when it's put in its proper place, it is a powerful force for good. Well, we want to help you get that right, find your financial purpose here on the program today. And so we know you have very specific questions in your financial life, things that you're wrestling with. Maybe it's how much is enough, or how much is enough for the kids, or what do I do with the rest? Or maybe it's your spending plan or debt repayment, or where we started today, very practically, when to take Social Security. Whatever's on your mind today, we'd love for you to call right now. That number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Before we dive into those phone calls today, which are coming in, but we do have room for a couple of additional calls, at least at the moment. In the news today, the markets opened on an upbeat this morning after President Trump surprised investors by delaying new tariffs on European imports. The deadline's now been pushed to July 9th, and that brought a wave of relief to Wall Street. So far, we're seeing the markets surging. The Dow Jones jumped over 400 points at the open. The S&P 500 is up a little more than 1%. The NASDAQ fully 1.5%. That's a strong reversal after last week's slide. The May confidence, consumer confidence index is just out at 87.1. That was slightly above the forecast of 86 and up from April's reading as well. This modest increase, I think, clearly suggests a slight improvement in consumer sentiment, though concerns over tariffs and inflation persist. Tesla's EU sales dropped 49% in April, but investors shrugged it off. Shares are up about 2% on the day. So it's a strong open on Wall Street, but as always, we need to remember real security doesn't come from the markets. It comes from trusting in God's faithful provision. But we can take a portion of what God has entrusted to us and deploy that capital into business for human flourishing and to grow that wealth. And clearly, we think that's a part of being a wise and faithful steward. Good news, we're going to dive into the markets a little deeper when Bob Dahl stops by in our final segment today. Bob will give us all of the details, a little deeper than I just shared on the markets today, what's moving the markets, and what he's thinking about moving forward as well. That's coming up in our final segment today. In the meantime, let's dive into your questions. We're so grateful. The lines are filling up, so we'll get to as many as we can here today. We're going to begin in Alabama and welcome James. Go ahead, sir.
Hello. I'm 63 and a half, and I got a serious debt problem. Spent the last 13, 14 years trying to help my wife get out of debt instead of taking care of my own. I have about $6,000 in credit card debt, but I have a huge student loan of close to $25,000. I've only got about $3,000 in savings. I work full-time as a truck driver. Just have a few years left when I will have to give up my job. And I'm kind of in a quandary of what to do. I have a debt collector coming down on me, and I don't want to use bankruptcy. And I'm hoping you can give me some sound advice.
Yeah, I'd be delighted to, James. And I know this can weigh heavily on you. So let's just craft the basics of a plan here so you can have some confidence in where you go from here. So you said you've got about $6,700 in credit card debt. What other debt do you have?
The student loan.
Okay, and what is that?
It's around 23, I believe.
All right. And is that a federal student loan or private?
Federal.
Okay, got it. And are you behind on both of them or just one of them?
Yeah, on both of them. I also have a creditor breathing down my throat, threatening to garnish my wages. I owe them, I think, around $2,200 or something like that. It's real close to that.
Is that a part of one of the other two debts or is that in addition to?
Well, you know, that's part of the credit card debt.
Okay, got it. All right. If you were to really, well, let's just talk about where you are today in terms of what you're bringing in consistently on a monthly basis, and you know what that looks like in terms of your spending plan. What would it take for us to get to the place where you could at least make the minimum payments on the credit cards and the student loans?
Well, that's, are you talking about combined?
Yeah, I mean, we want to get all these into a current status, and that means you're going to have to be paying the minimum payments.
Yeah, I haven't crunched the numbers on that, but I know my student loan is, my brain just went blank. But I would guess out of all the credit cards and student loan, it's probably going to be maybe $2,000 a month.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that sounds a little high, but let's say it is. How far are you away from being able to have that? What would it take for you to be able to allocate $2,000 a month beyond your essentials?
Well, the problem is I'm a truck driver, so payroll isn't consistent. One week I might make $1,000, the other week I might make $1,800. It's not consistent.
Yeah, yeah. So what we need to do is get on a plan where you can smooth out that erratic cash flow, where we build up a little bit of savings, and then we base the budget on the conservative monthly amount that you expect, not where you have kind of a blowout month that's, you know, different than the others, but where we look back over the last 6 months, better yet, the last year, and we say, what's an average monthly amount we can count on? And then you have all your paychecks go into savings, and then you transfer a consistent amount every week or every 2 weeks over to your checking account. And that will smooth that out. And that way, in the months where you get, or the weeks you get more, it sits there and builds up. And the weeks you have less, it draws it down. But we smooth out the budget rather than these kind of wild swings, which create a lot of problems. So I want to do two things. I want to connect you with a certified Christian financial counselor. I'm going to pay for it, but that'll get you set up on the budget. And then I want to talk to you about a debt management program. Stay right there. We'll finish up after the break. Donna, Sarah, coming your way as well. We'll be right back.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
I'll do some stand-up comedy, Abe'll do some preaching, Tim will MC the whole thing, and I'm really excited about it. The Weekend with AFA is a chance for our supporters to get better acquainted with the people and ministry you're supporting.
It's a Weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
I'm Chelsea Wildman, Associate Director of the AFA Foundation. Occasionally, there are those that have a more complicated financial situation. If that's you, we would love to set up a phone consultation with our team and Rob West, host of Faith Fi on American Family Radio. We will go over your specific situation. If you are interested, please give us a call, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345, or you can visit us at afafoundation.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got two lines open today. We're going to get to as many calls as we can, 800-525-7000. We've got folks holding in Arkansas and Oklahoma and Texas. Right now we're talking to James. Before the break, he shared that he's a truck driver, so his income's a little erratic. He's got about $23,000 in a student loan, about $6,700 owed on credit cards. One of those is coming after him and talking about a wage garnishment. He needs to free up about $2,000 a month or some part of that to be able to get back on track in paying these, and certainly wants to avoid bankruptcy. We want to help him create a plan forward here. And James, as I said, you know, I laid out some of the mechanics of what it would look like to get more of a smoothed out income stream by having all of your checks deposited to savings, building a budget around a conservative estimate based on a historical, you know, period of maybe 12 months, and then transfer over a consistent amount every month where you know, okay, my essentials bills are going to be covered. You can actually assign the different, you know, spending options, the different expenses to each transfer, and so you know exactly what's getting paid out of every month or every transfer, you know, every time it happens. And then with a debt management program, that's what we'll use for the credit cards, which basically that's my preferred way to get out of credit card debt. Every creditor has what they call a credit counseling program, where there's a predetermined lower interest rate that they've allowed to be used by anybody who goes into their credit counseling program. You have to go through a nonprofit credit counseling agency, and we've worked with our friends at Christian Credit Counselors for more than 20 years. They've served thousands of our listeners. They're incredible. They're all Christ followers. And basically, you'll pay one monthly payment to them. They'll then send it on to each creditor, but with that consistent level payment and the much reduced interest rate, you'll get that debt paid off 80% faster. The other thing that happens, as soon as you go into the program, the accounts are re-aged. And that just simply means that right now they're in a past due or a collection status. And if we get them into the credit counseling program, they become current again, so long as you make that monthly payment. Now, what's critical there is that we get you on that budget and we get that that system in place where you're now able to cover all of your bills because you've got a budget that's built around a more consistent, you know, amount of income. So you're not having to deal with those ebbs and flows. And that's where the Certified Christian Financial Counselor is going to come in. We're going to pay for that here at FaithFi as our gift to you. And over two or three sessions over the phone, whenever you're not driving, we'll have that person help you get set up with a plan. How does that sound, though?
Oh, it's I don't have the words of thankfulness for that.
Well, delighted to help here, James. So I need you to, if you're in a safe place, I need you to do two things. Number one is write down ChristianCreditCounselors.org, and you can go to that website. You can get their phone number and call them. I want you to get moving on getting set up on that debt management program, ChristianCreditCounselors.org. And then I'm going to ask you to hold. My team's going to get your information, and we'll get the Certified Christian Financial Counselor in touch with you to help you work on the spending plan, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. All right. God bless you. My only request is that you call me back once you're on track here and give me a testimony.
You can count on it.
All right. God bless you, James. We appreciate you. You're going to get through this, and the Lord sees you and loves you, and he's your provider. And we're delighted to be able to walk alongside you, sir. Let's go out to Texas. Hi, Donna. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you very much. I'll try to be quick. I turned 65 in March of this year. And so in the process of doing Medicare, I was offered spousal benefits, and I went ahead and took them. I was just wondering if that was a good thing, or should I have waited a couple more years?
No. So there is no benefit to delaying beyond full retirement age to take a spousal benefit. If you took it before full retirement age, then you were it was a permanent reduction. The spousal benefit is up to 50% of your spouse's full benefit. But that's assuming you wait until full retirement age, whatever that is for you. If you take it early, you lock it in a lower amount. But you don't get any credit for waiting beyond full retirement age. So as long as your husband walked through his door first, started collecting benefits, then you can take the spousal benefit at any time. Ideally, you wait till full retirement age, but not later. Now, if your own benefit would be higher by delaying, then you know that would be the other option. You can only take one or the other, not both. But in terms of delaying, now that you've already started the spousal benefit, you just need to kind of ride that out. And if you took it maybe a year early, you know, maybe you had about potentially as much as an 8% reduction on what you would have received, but that's probably it.
Okay, thank you. I don't have a Social Security benefit of my own. Okay. Texas teachers do not pay into that. We have our own, you know, that's a whole other story. But so that's where I am. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. We appreciate your call today. Lord bless you. Let's go to Michigan. Hi, Carol. How can we help?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I had two questions. I wondered, as far as the bank called Old Glory Bank, which I believe is Ben Carson's bank, I wondered what you thought of that as far as putting money in there for savings and CDs, whatever. And also my main question is that I'm disabled and I'm 59 years old. I can't save much money because of my disability. My money keeps winding up going for medical costs and, you know, basic expenses and stuff. But I have a little bit of money, maybe $5,000 or $10,000 that I've got some gold I'm going to cash in and get that money. And I was wondering if you could advise me to maybe where to put that money to maybe earn something, whether it be a money market or CD or something. Yeah. What would be a safe place?
Yeah, very good. Yeah, so Old Glory Bank, I don't know a ton about it. I do know it's relatively new. It's an FDIC-insured online bank. They've got strong patriotic branding, and you're right. Dr. Ben Carson is affiliated with it. I think he was one of the co-founders. I don't know about their products. I will say our friends at Christian Community Credit Union have been a great partner, and every dollar goes a bit of it toward supporting Christian ministries. And so that would probably be my first choice. Let me take this break. I'll finish up on the other side. Stay right there.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has shared good news with investors and advisors by offering faith-honoring mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners Limited and ETFs distributed by Foreside Funds Services, LLC. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal.
I believe the left is, most of the people on the left either are sympathetic with the pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas protesters, or they're afraid of them.
Yeah.
That's why they don't change the policies. They should be saying, if you're protesting on a college campus with something over your face, you'll be arrested. All right? My rant's over.
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
What if managing your money could actually draw you closer to God? What would happen if we began to see God as our ultimate treasure? The FaithFi app helps you do more than budget. It helps you integrate your faith and financial decisions for the glory of God. With easy-to-use envelope features, top biblical financial content, and a supportive in-app community, you'll learn to steward God's resources wisely and grow in generosity. Download the FaithFi app today from your app store or visit faithfi.com and click app.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by credit card debt? As followers of Christ, we are called to be good stewards of what God has given us. That's why our trusted partner, Christian Credit Counselors, is here to help. Their debt management program can help you pay off your debt 80% faster while honoring your commitments in full. Take the first step toward financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Coming up in the next segment, Bob Dahl stops by. Bob will weigh in on the markets. Just a moment, we'll head to Arkansas and talk to Richard. Sarah's in Oklahoma, but first we're talking to Carol in Michigan. She was asking about Old Glory Bank. I was saying before the break that I'm familiar with it, although I don't know a whole lot about it. I know it's relatively new. It is FDIC insured. It's an online bank, and it's got some public figures that are co-founders, John Rich and Dr. Bank Carson. I will say, you know, it has the features you would accept, or you would expect, I should say, you know, mobile banking and debit and credit cards. Just did a quick bit of due diligence during the break there. I see it's relatively small. You know, they reported a net loss, which is not uncommon for a new startup, of about $11 million in 2023. And there's mixed reviews. Some customers praise its service. Others express concerns about aggressive marketing tactics and financial stability. So I think those reviews are something you ought to take a look at. As I was saying, as an alternative, Carol, you know, our friends at Christian Community Credit Union could be a great option. They have some really attractive rates. You'd be with an institution that aligns with your values. They support Christian ministries, and it's just a great partner of ours here at Faith and Finance. Just go to joinchristiancommunity.com to learn more. Again, that's Join Christian Community if you wanted to see an alternative. In terms of that $5,000 to $10,000, you know, I think just given your disability and the fact that you don't have a lot that you've saved up, I want you to be careful about putting that to work too quickly. So I would want you to keep probably at least 6 months worth of expenses in just a high yield savings account. Would probably be the best option. You could certainly do a money market, as long as it's a money market account that's FDIC insured, not a money market mutual fund. But the high yield savings at these online banks or credit unions like Christian Community Credit Union would be great. And I would say having that there as your reserve so you could draw on it if you need it, you know, would be your best option right now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Carol. Call anytime, and glad we could get you on today. Thanks for being on the program. Let's go to Arkansas. Hi, Richard. How can I help?
Good morning, Rob. I'm 68, and I started taking Social Security early because of some physical difficulties that made it real hard to continue to work full time. But I may be going back to work full time, and I'm wondering, with going back to work full time, would my monthly Social Security checks possibly increase?
Yes, sir, they sure could. And here's how that works. So because you're past full retirement age, there's no earnings limit. You can earn as much as you want. And if your current earnings are higher than past low earning years, then Social Security will automatically recalculate your benefit to include that higher income and drop off one of those low earning years that are a part of your high 35. So they take your 35 years of highest earnings. And if you have any low earnings years that might be replaced by something higher right now, that would automatically be recalculated. You don't have to do anything. It'll happen at the end of the year, and then that could result in a modest increase. It usually happens in the year following after the higher earnings are reported. So that would be the way. And then on top of that, everyone gets the cost of living adjustment as well.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate your ministry.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. Appreciate your call today. Let's go up to Oklahoma. Hi, Sarah. How can I help you?
Hi. Hi, this is Sarah from Harrow, Oklahoma. Look, I am 63 years old. I've been a widow now for 15 years. I've got 16 years of Department of Defense, and I'm considering on taking an early retirement so that I can, use my Social Security survivors. But I haven't done it yet because the Lord just hasn't told me to jump.
Yeah.
But I'm still curious as to the penalties, I guess, I could be getting.
Yeah. Yeah. So at 63, you are eligible for survivor's benefits. And so you would, meet the requirement of being, given how long you were married and so forth, you would absolutely qualify. By claiming, though, at 63, you will have a reduced benefit. So I would expect that benefit to perhaps be around 80% of your late husband's full benefit. The only way you'd get 100% of that benefit would be waiting until you reach your full retirement age, somewhere between 66 and 67. But if you go ahead and take it now, you would get about 80%. Now, you can claim survivor's benefits now and then switch to your own higher retirement benefit at age 70 if you delayed taking those. And with the repeal of the government pension offset under the Social Security Fairness Act, you may find that under your own work record, if you qualify, you could have benefits that are even higher. But if not, regardless, I think the big question is, do you take that now and take 80% of his benefit, or do you wait until full retirement age and get 100%?
That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
And, it just seems I'm not at peace with it, but physically, I've recently started having to take blood pressure medicine because of the stress. Yeah. Seems like we're shorthanded a lot and working hours. And yes. I just, the thought has come to mind that, well, maybe it's time.
Yeah. Well,
I just wanted another opinion.
Yes. Well, I think, first of all, I don't like the stress that it's causing you, Sarah. I'd like for you to get out from under that as soon as possible. I think perhaps a starting point is to go ahead and work up a budget. And let's figure out, based on the survivor's benefit you would receive, and then do you have any other income sources? Will you have any kind of retirement or anything that could go along with that?
Well, I have my retirement.
Yeah.
So with the retirement and with what I have in my TSP, okay, that would be enough to cover my bills.
Okay.
And then I would just have the monthly that I would get from the survivor.
Yes. So let's do some math real quick. What do you have built up in your TSP?
Right now, I have a little over $90,000.
Okay. And then what would you be getting from your retirement per month?
My retirement, almost $1,700 a month.
$1,700 a month. Okay.
Yes.
I would love for you to limit your TSP to about $300 a month. So if you had $2,000 a month, and that would ensure that TSP, ideally, if it's invested right, and we could get you with a certified Kingdom advisor, but if it's invested right, you'd never touch the principal over time. It might dip down in one given quarter or year, but over time, you should be able to maintain that balance and continue to pull out that $300 a month, which is 4% a year. So if you had $2,000 a month, do you have any idea what your husband's Social Security benefit was going to be at full retirement age?
Well, at full, I know now at 80% is
2100.
Just under 2100.
So the question is, could you make it on 4100 a month?
That's close.
Yeah. So I think you need to put a budget together. Would you like for me to have one of our certified Christian financial counselors walk alongside you and help you put that budget together?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do that. We're going to pay for that. Won't cost you anything, Sarah. It's just our gift to you. Stay on the line. We'll get someone in touch with you. Let's let that drive the decision. I'd love to get you out of that work as soon as possible. We'll be right back.
What is the most important thing that pastors or other church leaders can do to serve their congregations? How can you evaluate how well they're doing it, and how can you best pray for and encourage those who shepherd you? John MacArthur helps answer those important questions today as he begins a study he calls Insight into a Pastor's Heart on Grace to You.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests, plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. We may have time to get to one or two more questions after we talk to Bob Dahl here in a moment. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000 with your financial questions today. Well, Bob Dahl joins us each Monday in this segment. He's our market expert. He's CEO and CIO at Crossmark Global Investments, a leader in faith-based investing. And Bob, never a shortage of news, especially with President Trump around. We've got news on Europe and tariffs. We've also got some news on consumer sentiment driving the markets, I guess, today, huh?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's always a wild ride. As we all know, a little more than a week ago, the president said things were not going well from a tariff negotiation standpoint with Europe and decided that maybe a 50% tariff made sense. And that roiled the markets early last week. And then, of course, he more recently said, well, we'll extend that by more than a month, giving more chance for negotiation. And the market just loves that. And you're right. A little while ago, we got a consumer sentiment number that was a lot better than expected. So maybe we consumers are feeling a little better about things. And that's got the market with a bit of a tailwind, too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Bob, what do you think are the big factors that are going to determine how the back half of the year plays out? What are you watching most closely?
Well, it'll be at the end of the day, it'll be the economy and therefore earnings. But of course, there are all kinds of things that contribute to those things, like what we just talked about. How do consumers feel? What does the job market look like? Is inflation causing people angst? And then, of course, the tariffs. How will they be negotiated? Will we continue to have a lot of issues that cause the markets to be upset? Or will the president say, we've made enough progress, let's just pause for a while and see how things play out? There are just so many variables. As you and I have discussed over time, the future markets are always uncertain, but they're more uncertain than usual. So I think it's going to be more of a yo-yo, and the economy overall will determine is the yo-yo sideways, up, or down.
Yeah. Obviously, it's hard to tell just given the uncertainty you just described, but what would be your expectation about whether or not this gets to a recession? And I realize it's it's a pretty technical definition at the end of the day, but the big idea is, are we going to be slowing perhaps to a point where, you know, the GDP is contracting? What would be your best guess at this point?
So slow down for sure. How severe is really your question. And my guess is that as things have gotten, quote, a little better around tariffs, that the probability of recession has gone back down. At our peak, when it just looked awful, we were arguing maybe a 50-50 chance. Now I'm going to say it's one chance out of three. And you're right, the technical definition, some people say, oh, it felt like a recession. Other people said, no, it was okay, it just slowed down. I think that's what it'll all end up being.
Yeah. Bob, let's talk about the national debt for a second. I know, you know, a lot of people are confused about just why we didn't memorialize some of the DOGE work and why we're not doing more on the deficits, although there's only so much you can do with a reconciliation bill. And so obviously there's limitations there. But what are your thoughts just based on what you're seeing discussed and coming out of Congress in these early days around how serious they're going to take really getting this thing coming down and how much depends upon our ability to grow the economy?
Yeah, you know, right subject and a big long-term problem if we don't attack it. And this bill really doesn't attack it. Look, politicians tend to do what's practical and what they think can get done. As somebody questioned me when I was complaining about some of the provisions of the bill that's on the table. Bob, don't you agree this bill is better than no bill? And I have to answer that question, yes, because we don't want that huge tax increase on December 31st if we can't get a bill done. But wouldn't it be nice if we did more tackling of the ongoing debt and deficit problems than certainly this bill indicates. It's now in the hands of the Senate. They will make some changes, maybe quite a number of changes. Then they'll have to come back to reconciliation. There's a dream that the president can sign this by July 4th. I think that is a dream. It's going to take longer than that. But, it's back to the system we have, Rob, if I can complain for a minute. These guys are always running for re-election or the next re-election. And, 2 years in the House and 6 years in the Senate, it's just not enough time to incentivize them to be focused on the long term. And that's what we need. Otherwise, this problem is just going to keep getting worse.
Yeah. Bob, you had some comments out today, just kind of putting this in perspective versus other nations and a tipping point that occurs. Share that with us.
Yeah, the point is that our debt our interest expense, the service of the debt, is now a higher element in the budget than defense spending. And if you look back in history to other empires that kind of built themselves up, peaked, and went down, often this is the issue. When debt service becomes so big that it slows your economy, it raises your interest rates, it potentially creates inflation, and that's more than the defense spending, that's often a point where great societies begin to decay. So I'm hoping and praying that that's not the case for the United States.
And that's not necessarily something our kids are going to have to worry about. That could be in the next 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Pinning when the problem hits is a near impossibility. You know, it could affect us. It could be our kids and our grandkids. But it's the point in time when the system, if I can call it that, says enough is enough. Yeah. And what will we see? Like slowing growth that we can't get out of the way, rising interest rates, maybe a falling dollar. And that will be the sign, the culmination of, guys, it's enough. Time out. Hopefully we can tackle it before it becomes onerous.
Bob, last question. What should folks in that retirement season of life, maybe they've got 60%+ in bonds, what should they expect over that portion of their portfolio over the balance of the year and into next year?
Our guess is a trading range for bonds. We've called for between 4% and 5%. yield on the 10-year treasury, and we're almost smack in the middle of that as we speak at 4.46. Now, if we have a recession, again, a lower than 50% probability, you know, interest rates could come down some. Unless and until we get inflation down a little bit lower or start paying off our debt, unlikely, interest rates will probably remain fairly firm. So you'll get your coupon, but probably not a lot more.
All right. Bob, we always appreciate your time, my friend. Enjoy the week. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. Bye-bye. That's Bob Dolly, CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. Head to crossmarkglobal.com to learn more. All right. Here we're going to round out the broadcast today. We'll get to hopefully one, maybe two calls. Mary's in Tennessee. Hi, Mary. How can I help?
Yes, I was calling to find out what I need to do as far as applying for death benefits, if that's something I'm required to do at 55 or what with that. And then also with a $2,000 like limit, how that affects if I go over that as far as savings and accumulating wealth.
Yeah. Now, are you talking about survivor's benefits for a husband that passed away?
Yes.
Okay. And you're on SSDI?
SSI.
Okay, SSI. Yeah, so I mean, at the end of the day, I would call Social Security and get the details. But the bottom line is, you know, between 60 and full retirement age, you would be eligible to apply for survivor's benefits based on your late husband's work record at full retirement age or older, which is between 66 and 67, you could get 100% of that. And then between 60 and full retirement age, you'd get somewhere between 71% and about 99% of his benefits, depending on your exact age. There are cases where you can apply before age 60, and it just depends upon when the disability began. And so that's where you would want to talk to Social Security about that. You can't receive both, though. You'd either receive the disability or the full survivor's benefits. Social Security Administration would pay you the higher of the two. And so you would likely want to, if you can live on what you're getting right now, I think it'd be best to wait to claim that survivor's benefits and then switch to what might be a higher benefit down the road. But again, I would get with Social Security by calling them, maybe perhaps making an in-person appointment just to look at your exact numbers and do that benefit comparison.
Now, is it typical for them to require you to apply for it if you're on it?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. Are they telling you that you have to because you're on SSI?
Yeah, it's like on employment. They made an appointment for me in June 17th, saying instantly over the phone interview that you're required to do this, even if you're not eligible because there's three or four things that would make me think that I'm not eligible because we weren't married for this long time and because of different other reasons. And
gotcha.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're not. It's not beyond them to make a mistake. So I would show up for that meeting, be well equipped, and let's find out. Perhaps you're right. Maybe you do not have to take that benefit and can delay just based on the things you're saying. But you'd want to work that out directly with them. So I'd say take that meeting and go in and let's get all the facts. And hopefully you'll come out realizing you can, in fact, delay it and get a higher benefit later. If not, then obviously they'd have to be, you know, paying you the higher of the two, whichever would be, you know, higher at this point, just based on your age and so forth. So I wish I had a definitive answer on that. There are so many intricacies related to the exceptions that I think your best option right now is just to sit across the table from somebody who can give you the facts and actually look at your work record, your disability, and your husband's record as well. So appreciate your call today, though, Mary. All the best to you as you head into that meeting. Rob, in Texas, I apologize we didn't get to you today. Let's get you on a future broadcast. We appreciate you being with us. Well, Faith and Finance is here to be an encouragement to you as a wise and faithful steward. Big thanks to my team today, Sandy Dickinson, Devin Patrick, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them, and everybody here at FaithFi. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.